Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. This morning's message is going to be God's purpose of women as a helpmeet, and that's a repeat of last week. Actually, it's part two of last week because last week we never got to really finish. So I have some prayer requests, and I have a song, as I always do, for you, and I'm going to play for you. But before I get into that, I want you to understand something, folks. The reason it takes so long sometimes to get through some of this stuff is that we have an obligation to fulfill a certain amount of information so you can understand it. And without that, it's almost impossible. It really is. It's hard to do. I do the best I can to get the information out there for you. Bear with me. I try to do what I can so that you'll understand it. I'm a little behind this morning. I had some things to take care of, and it's taken a lot. Well, if I can, we're having a problem. I've had a problem all week with my computer, but I'm trying to do something here so that we can have some music this morning. Let's do our God's an Awesome God again, and then I'll come back to you, and we'll do the prayer request. And I won't run it as long as it plays out, but I will play it for at least a minute and a half, give everybody a chance to get here. Thank you this morning for being here. All right, folks, I played that out longer than I wanted to. I was trying to get things ready and get the prayer list up. this morning, again, we're going to do the message that we did last week, except that we're going to expound on it a little bit. We're going to read from Genesis chapter 2 and then 1 Corinthians 11:11, and then I'm definitely going to get into Proverbs 31, folks, because I think it's important that women understand what Proverbs 31 was talking about and how that really pertains to all of us, not just the women, folks. It also pertains to the household of the husband and the children and the rest of us. But it does really, it tells the women exactly what God has planned for them and what he thinks of them and how they can honor God by honoring their husband, their household, and their children. And then more so, it's not so much, you know, we seem to forget our obedience in this world is not to our husband, to our children, our spouse, or our job, or whatever. Our obedience is to God. And if we put God first, and everybody hears this, but I don't think they quite understand what it means when we say, let's put God first. Because if we put God first, then everything else falls in line. If you make God your priority, if you make God the one that you're obedient to, everything else falls in line, folks. This morning's prayers, folks, I want you to understand. No. Yeah, okay. Someone was saying they didn't have the right link, but I'm going to try and get it to them. Let me see if I can do that. But anyways, our prayer requests, I don't know why they don't have the right link, but we're going to work on it as we go. We have a prayer request from Sandy Washer for Tim. Tim W's got some problems with his leg, and did I just do that? Yes. When you try to use electronics, they become a problem. Let me see if I can do this again. Tim's having a problem with his leg, and he's in chronic pain, and it's his knee, actually. He had knee surgery, and he's in a lot of pain. His mother has visiting hours, the funeral tomorrow, so there's a lot going on for Tim. Tim's mom passed away. Lorette's father, who's dealing with Lorette's mom, who passed away. There's a lot of passing away that's happened this year, a lot of people. And I want you to at least put some thought to that, folks, and pray for the families, the ones that are going through the suffering. Even Lorette, she hasn't asked, but I know Lorette's heart. I see her messages, and I've talked with her in the past. This whole thing with losing her mother, that's like losing her best friend. So she's got a lot on her mind. She's been going over that, going over it. Then we have Jamie Lewis, who's sick, the Estrada family, who's really sick. There's a lot going on, folks, and I try to get as much as I can for everybody. That's my goal. I try to do what I can to get the message out. I try to share the gospel. There's those that don't understand what it takes. See, I got it. Now, right now, I'm having a problem because all of this is. Let me get rid of that. There we go. There we go. We'll have feedback if I'm not careful. All right, just bear with me, folks. I'm working with something here. I'm sorry about that. Electronics are a fun thing, I'll tell you. And then when you're dealing with people on the outside of Facebook and outside and trying to get things done right, it's hard to do this, but I try to get it all right so everybody has it. That's what makes it even harder, trying to get the message out. And let's see if we can do this. Reminds me of the days when I was paying for the service. And I really had problems with sound and everything else. So. All right, so let's go back to where we were. The prayer request, like I said, the Estrada children are sick. The mother and father are staying home from church today with the kids because they were all feeling ill. It's that time of year. Everybody's getting colds and getting sick. But Jamie Lewis was real sick. I mean, she mentioned yesterday that she was home under the covers on the couch shivering, freezing, she said. And I'm sure she's not living in the freezing cold up in Alaska with one blanket. So please, folks, pray for Jamie Lewis and pray for the Estradas. For Sandy Washer, who, again, another one. Her husband only passed away a little while ago. My friend Marcy Bowden, her husband passed away. Star, another one whose husband passed away. Brett's father having lost his wife. He's going through a difficult time. He's lived with that lady for years and years and years, and she's no longer there. You know, this morning we're talking about having a helpmate. Can you imagine you lose the one that you rely on the most? What do you do when that happens? We should be able to look to God and count on that to be our blessing. But, yeah, it's not easy. We're going to have that problem. We're just going to have it. It's just, there's not much we can do about it. But we can look to God and get the strength from God for all of that. That's the tough part. Most of us don't look to God. That's where I think we fall short. So, again, like I said, if we put God first and do that, and that's one of the prayers we should have this morning, that we're praying for obedience, not just to our spouse, but our obedience to God. So, Father, we ask for you to give us the strength this morning for those that we ask for prayer, for those that are going to ask for prayer. I know I'll get more of that throughout the day that come in because that was posted late. And, again, like I said, I've had problems with my electronics, with the computer and what have you. So pray that that works out, because I don't know how this is going to be a problem next week if things get worse. But thank you for being here. God bless you. Lord, we just ask that you would watch over those for Tim with his knee surgery, for Sandy, for Marcy, for Star, for Lorette's father, for Lorette, for my grandchildren, for my children, for my wife, for myself, for my friend Pete Gould, who's traveling today. Lord, we just ask that you watch over him, and he's going down to his uncle passed away. So give them strength, please, and help them get there where they're going and get back safely, Lord, and watch over us and give us a good day. And thank you for loving us, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Our message this morning, I'm fumbling. I am fumbling bad this morning. I feel like I'm not prepared for some reason, and I know I am. I've had the message here for the last 2 weeks, so it's not like I have it. Genesis 2, God created woman from man's rib, making the woman a part of man, I say. That was done so the woman could be man's helpmeet. If you go back and look at Genesis 2 in 18 through 24, it's described exactly what God did. God created the heavens and earth. God created the animals. He gave Adam control or charge over the animal, I should say, to watch over him, protect him, and provide for him, and make sure that they get what their needs are and make sure nothing goes wrong. And the animals back then weren't vicious towards one another. All they had to do is be made sure that they had someone to watch over them and be cared for. I'm sure that Adam probably had his hands filled. He was probably trying to make sure that they didn't get in each other's way, that they didn't go eating each other's food wrongly or go do things. And don't get me wrong, animals don't have the brain that a human has, so they don't know the difference like men and women should know. Men and women should be able to pick up the Bible, read it, and understand it, right? Granted, you're not going to understand everything. There's a lot that even I don't understand, and I'm no theologian. There are theologians that don't understand the whole scripture, or they wouldn't preach incorrectly, because we have false teachers in the world, and we all know that. Our time will run short if I don't get through this message today, and we'll be doing part three. So women are supposed to be the man's helpmeet. It says that in Genesis 18 through 24, and it says, look, it says here, it says, this is what I wrote. The way I read the verses in Genesis, my understanding is that the woman was created to be there to help the man in all aspects, including procreation, but not just procreation. She's the man's strength when life is stressful. But the man is to be the woman's shoulder to lean on. The man is to be her strength also. It's not a one-way concept. It wasn't one way when God created it. We're to be there for each other, and we're supposed to be there in obedience to God. Moving along. Now, I said, a helpmeet, according to the dictionary, is this: a companion, a helper, a spouse, anything that aids or assists, especially regularly. Okay, so you have a husband and wonder, how do you help, I said, or what is the purpose? You fill a very real need as a wife to your husband, to your children. There's a need there. You're supposed to do certain things. It's written in Scripture, folks. Someone said to me last week, and I won't go into detail, but they said basically, and actually, I wouldn't even say a person, because this happened more than once last week over the conversation, the message this past week. They didn't believe that women are that way today. And if that's the case, then that means women are being deceived by their own kind. They're being deceived to think that they should live differently than according to what the Bible says. That's why some people say, well, the Bible's an old book. We shouldn't even bother with it. Throw it out. Let's move along, right? We end up with Sodom and Gomorrah. which Sodom and Gomorrah was not just about the sexual misconduct or misbehaving of God's children, but it was the total misbehaving of God's children. There was violence. There was raping. There was murder. There was people just doing whatever they wanted to do, throwing the Bible to the side, sleeping with whoever they want, man, woman, or child. It didn't matter. And we're living in them times because we won't get back on the right track. The woman's not a slave. She's her husband's helpmate. There's a difference between slave and a husband's helpmate. There's a difference when a woman does what she should for God by being obedient to God, not just because her husband expects it from her. You know, just because a husband wants a good wife doesn't mean he's going to have one. You know, we know the story of how women like to look for the bad guy because he's alluring or he's exciting. But then they get with him and they find out that bad guy that they're looking at doesn't want to take care of her, and he doesn't care if it's her or someone else he goes to sleep with. He doesn't care if it's someone else or he goes out and has dinner with or go and spends his time with. But, you know, the Bible does go on to say that some of those things are women's fault as much as they are men's. Lastly, in Proverbs in 31, I want to go there, but let me say this. It's not the woman's job to take on the responsibility of the man. Okay? It's not the husband's responsibility in the marriage to do the woman's responsibility. Women have a responsibility, and it's written in Scripture, folks. If you look at the Scriptures and follow that part of it, how could you consider yourself to be wrong? Or how could your husband consider you to be wrong? You know, I won't go into all the details, but you know, as a woman, what your responsibilities are in a marriage. And if you don't, then maybe when I get through Proverbs, you'll see some of that. I hope you will, because that's what this whole message was about, was trying to show women what their position is in God, not just their husband. It's the helpmeet of the husband, but the obedience to God. You know, when you do what you're supposed to for your husband, how is he ever going to say to you, that's not what I expect of you? Because every man wants a woman he can respect. No one wants a woman that when he's out in public, she's acting like the fool. And no woman wants a husband that does that either. So I'm trying to be fair here, folks. Look, this may appear strange or different or as if it's man's way, but it's not. What I'm telling you is what the Scriptures are telling you, what society's telling you. They've drifted from God's plan. You want peace in a relationship? You want a good relationship with your husband? Start looking at what the Bible tells you is your responsibility. For you women that don't have a spouse, there's a responsibility in Scripture for you, too, and it's for you to teach the younger ones what it means to be a good woman. In fact, the Bible calls it a virtuous woman. Now, it's your job as the woman, as the older woman, to show the younger women how to be that woman who's obedient to God, not living for the world. I hear some of these older women telling these younger girls, well, if you don't like it, just leave them, go find somebody else. Or they tell them, well, you don't got to do that. Why doesn't he do that? How come he can't do that? Why can't a man do a woman's job? Well, how come a woman shouldn't be doing a man's job then? And nowadays, you got women that are trying to act like they can. They're trying to fill that position of a man, which you tell me that's not going against the obedience of God. It says, look, I wrote these notes down. It says, however, the world also wants you to not be in peace. The world doesn't want you to be faithful, doesn't want you to have a real relationship, doesn't want you to be a peculiar person for God, doesn't want you to live differently than the world. It wants you to live just like the world, act just like the world, live in the world's pleasures, go after all the things that are pleasing to the heart, to the soul, to the mind, but they aren't pleasing to God. God gives us power and fruitfulness and joy in our lives that people in the world long for. They don't have it. They only dream about it. And there goes that conversation where, oh, but nobody lives that way any longer. I don't even see people live like that, even the ones that go to church. Well, you know why they don't? They're not in obedience to God. You want to know what the word is that they took out long time ago? In subjection. Because if you're in subjection to God, see, that makes them feel like they're subservient, like they're being ruled over with a whip. And if you don't do this, we're going to chain you up and put you in the kitchen, leave you there barefooted for the rest of your life. You know that's not what God meant. What God meant by this was, he said, listen, you be in subjection to me. Your husband's in subjection to me, and you're in subjection to me, and you're in subjection to your husband, you will have a peaceful house. Don't try to misinterpret this or trip anything up and say, oh, so you're not going to have any problems in your marriage? Well, I'll tell you what, if you do what the Bible says you're supposed to, you probably won't have any problems in your marriage. You'll have a peaceful marriage. The Bible says that a man has a responsibility to provide for his family, take care of his family, and do the things that his family needs. When a woman doesn't do the things that is for her position as an obedient Christian, to do the things that God asked for her to do, then yes, the husband's going to start falling. A lot of things are going to start falling. You're going to find that he may not want to come home after work. Maybe he'll start going to happy hour with the guys. Maybe he'll start looking for someone else to replace you with. Maybe he'll start thinking about, I'm going somewhere on vacation, but I don't want to take you with me. These things start to happen because the marriage starts to separate slowly from the things that neither will take on the responsibility that God has placed for them. And one of the biggest things I find in a relationship today is communication. When a woman has a problem, she walks around, keeps her mouth closed, doesn't want to say anything, doesn't want to stir the pot, but doesn't also sit down with her husband and say, this is what's bothering me. And if you don't do those things and you don't communicate the things that are affecting you, then you can't expect to have a good marriage because you're being selfish and you're keeping it to yourself. So when those things happen and the marriage starts to fall apart, you create that for yourself. The power of the woman comes from the spiritual side, from the side God of the godly part, the love in her heart for God. It's not her place to take on the responsibility of finances for the house. It's not her responsibility to put up with all of those things. But it is her responsibility, if she sees a problem, to report it to her husband. Proverbs 31, I'm going to go there. Let me see if I can get to it so we all know, because what's going to happen if I don't, right? I'll misinterpret it. Oh, I found something that I'd like for everybody to see at some point. I'll try to remember it later. It's a post, a link, actually. I'll try to save it if I can. These things don't always work for me, like I said before. All right, in the King James Bible in Proverbs 31, because that's where I'm going to go to, it talks about the virtuous woman. If I can get through this, folks, it's going to be amazing. If I can, I want you to go there and look at Proverbs 31 for yourself. I've only got a couple of minutes, so let's try to do this and get through it quickly. Proverbs 31 says this, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, what my son and what the son of my womb and what the son of my vows, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. He was telling him, listen, there are women out there that'll destroy you because you give your power to them. A woman could break a man's heart by not keeping the house, by not doing the things of God. When a woman starts to live for herself and not care about any of those things, then the husband starts to fall apart, and he doesn't have any need for her. He starts looking for a different woman. I said that to you. Give not thy strength unto women, nor the ways to that which destroyeth kings. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. In other words, it's not for you to go out and hang out at happy hour, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that's ready to perish. There's a reason for some of those things. But it's certainly not in a relationship at home, other than for medicinal purposes. And that was for the alcohol content, not for them to get drunk. Open thy mouth for the dumb. That means speak up for those that can't. Open thy mouth in judgment righteously. Plead the cause of the poor. And then it says here in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. That means a good woman is hard to find. That means she's priceless. That means she's to be looked at as something of true value in a relationship. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, it says in verse 11, so that he shall have no need of spoil. He won't want anything else. He won't need to go anywhere else. He won't have that need to find something else, because it's your responsibility as the woman to make sure that he has no need anywhere else outside of the house. You're his wife. You should provide all those things that the scripture says creates a virtuous woman. He shouldn't be able, he shouldn't have to worry about whether he can trust you. She'll do him good, not evil. Not just once in a while, not just when she needs something, but always. She's like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She makes sure she prepares a meal for him. That's what that's about. She makes sure her household is taken care of, that all of her children are doing what they're supposed to do, and makes sure that the children don't get out of hand when he's not there. She considers the field and she buys it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. That means she helps. She works in the field if she must, not just in the house. She girdeth up her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. That means she does things to help work and help get things done. Doesn't mean she goes out and becomes a muscle woman. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the staff. She stretches out her hand to the poor. That means if she has, she doesn't mind giving to somebody in need. She's not greedy with her own stuff. She reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. Why? Because her husband's already provided to make sure that her household's taken care of, and she doesn't have any need because, let's face it, she lives in a household where her husband makes sure things are taken care of. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. That means back in those days, she sewed her own clothes. Today, she doesn't have to. Her husband works and provides, and they get clothes from the stores, from wherever else they get it from. Not that they can't make their own. It says here, clothing is silk and purple. She makes fine clothing. That's what that meant. She dresses right. She looks right. She doesn't look like the slob that we see walking in the Walmarts in their sweatpants with a T-shirt hanging down that looks like they pulled it out of the wash with food slopped on it, her hair tied up in a bun because she's too lazy to wash it or comb it. She goes out into the world and she makes her husband proud of who she is. Strength and honor are clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She'll open her mouth with wisdom. She doesn't act foolishly, in other words. In her tongue is the law of kindness. In other words, she shares what God has with others. She's always kind and respectful. She doesn't go out cussing and acting like a sailor who hung out at the bar for the last night. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her children love her. Why? Because she's kind, compassionate, and loving. Her husband also. And they praise her. My daughters have done virtuous, but thou tellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. In other words, if you dress right, act right, stay clean, not just yourself, but your home, you treat people like you're supposed to, like God is right there with you. That's how you're supposed to live. Oh, you can run about now and say that that's not how it is. This is how it is today. Well, then you can live happiness and the lack of peace in your life. Folks, I tried to give you the best message I can. Please go look at Proverbs 31. Go read it. Go look at 1 Corinthians 11:11. Look at Genesis 2. Do that for yourself. Don't take my word for it. When you're obedient to God, you're obedient to God. You're not obedient to me. Thank you for being here. I don't have an ending song this week. I'm sorry I wasn't prepared to do that, because if I do that, we're going to run out of the last few seconds of time. Thank you for being here, and God bless you. We'll see you again next week. Have a great day. God bless you. Oh, you can come find me over on Preacher William Preacherville Barnes on Facebook. And at least over there, if you got questions, you can ask me. Okay? Thank you for being here. God bless you. See if I can get a song in even on the last 10 minutes, and you can listen to it in archives. Not allowing me to do this, so. God bless you. Have a good day. See you next week. God bless you.